Good morning. This is Dan Arshak, and you're listening to the once a month at 11 o'clock criminal law show. We have the great honor of having with us today Eugene Keeler, who's running in Columbia County to be the district attorney. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but first I want to explain to you a little bit about what this show is about. The Criminal Law Show is an opportunity for all members of our listening audience, which comprises parts of Greene County and Columbia County, a little bit of Northern Dutchess County, and online visitors around the world, to participate in a discussion about issues that affect all of our lives. Criminal law, the arrest of individuals charged with crimes, the investigation of individuals not yet charged with crimes, affects all of our lives. Our brothers, our fathers, our sisters, our mothers, all are affected by criminal law issues. And in every event when somebody is charged with a crime, we have had for the last 50 years, almost 60 years, the right to a defense attorney to represent that person when they're charged with a crime. Often, as I'm a criminal defense attorney, I've been doing it for almost 30 years, and frequently I'm asked, "How do you represent those people? How can you do that?" And I have a variety of answers, but what I found is that there actually is a song that I want you to listen to that explains really what it is that I do.
Says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're gonna need somebody to stand by you.
You can tell from that song that my view of what it is that a criminal defense attorney does is that we stand by a person. We don't judge the person. We don't make excuses for the person. We don't adopt their politics or apologize for their behavior. We stand by them in a system that's complicated and that's extraordinarily dangerous to people charged with crimes or even being investigated. Everybody needs somebody to stand by them, and that's what a defense attorney does. So in the criminal justice system, there are three major actors. There's the defense attorneys, and you've heard me speak a little bit about what defense attorneys do. There are judges. The judges are the people who decide that the law is being applied in the way that it should be applied and makes legal decisions during the course of a trial. Sometimes they are the finders of the facts. They decide what the facts are. If the parties decide not to have a jury and in more serious cases, they're only the finders of the law. They decide what the law is and juries decide what the facts are. And then the third part of that support of the criminal justice system is the prosecution. The prosecution's obligation is to, in my lights, decide who ought to be charged with a crime, what they ought to be charged for, and then to do justice, not to seek convictions, but to do justice. And if a conviction occurs, it occurs because a jury says that there ought to be a conviction. And the system works when people who actually have committed those crimes are convicted. And it works when people who have been charged with a crime are acquitted when there isn't enough evidence to convict them. The role of the district attorney in the criminal justice system is central. And extraordinarily important and very, very powerful. It affects all of our lives. And therefore, to the citizens of Columbia County who have an opportunity coming up this Tuesday to select the next district attorney of the county, this decision is very important. It's a decision that could affect your life. It could affect your brothers or fathers or cousins or uncles' lives. And so today's guest, Gene Keeler, is... here to talk about what he brings to this race. Gene, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Great. Why don't you lean a little bit closer to the microphone?
Yes, sir.
And I want to say, first of all, that there are two people running in this race. One is Gene Keeler, who's with us this morning, and the other is Paul Chayka. Paul was invited to participate with us last July, and I reached out to him again about a month ago. On Friday last week, there was a debate in Columbia County between these two candidates, and I heard from Mr. Chayka after that debate that he had declined to participate in today's show with Mr. Keeler, but I'm so pleased that Mr. Keeler is here with us. And I think it probably makes sense, Gene, to start with a little bit about who you are, what your career has been involved with, and what brings you to this race.
Well, listen, first I want to tell you it's my honor to be here today. As I told you earlier, I did look up your resume, and for somebody of your stature to be so interested in having a show like this and asking the questions that you will that are so important to our society, that I think it's my honor to be here, not your honor, because you have one heck of a resume, and certainly I think probably have a tremendous grasp on the issues, some of the issues we need to talk about today. One of my telling interest today is that Mr. Chayka has failed to appear this morning because we were supposed to have this debate, that he made a commitment back in July, and he's failed to fulfill his commitment. It's very telling that it comes a week after we had a tremendous debate down in the sponsored by the local Register Star, and it was very, very interesting. Interesting from my viewpoint is Mr. Chayka still has refused to discuss the various issues in the case in this county, in the race that we have, versus the personal attacks on me. And he's and I are probably 180 degrees apart about what we're both bringing to the table. He's bringing the old, what's my conviction rate, the percentage rate this year versus what's the interest of justice to the table. He knows that people are changing. People are changing around in this community, and he can't go to the issues. He can only go to the personal attacks, and that's sad because the real important things aren't getting discussed.
So let's talk a little bit about who you are and what your background is.
Well, I'm 61 years old, born and raised in Columbia County, lived here most of my life. I've had some periods of time that I lived in school, went in Tennessee, lived up in Rensselaer County part-time and part-time down here. But I've always had a connection to Columbia County one way or the other. My family's from here, and I'm a local boy. Educated Hudson High School, local school district, St. Mary's. Went off and I actually started two careers. I went to law school, and I also went to social work school down in Tennessee. So I have an MSW and a JD, one from the University of Tennessee and the other one from the University of Memphis. And after I graduated, I came back, and I started working with people, both in the county's level as an assistant public defender and with the local ARC, the Columbia County Association of Retarded Children chapter of Columbia County, which is called COARC. It's a AKA COARC, and I've been a strong social work and legal advocate for Consumers Air for almost 32 years. And now with the county, I retired officially from the county a year ago, 2 years ago this April. I have been an advocate for many years now about how our local criminal justice system needs to change for a number of reasons. And that's why I'm here today.
So, in terms of your experience in the criminal justice system, can you give us a sketch of what that has been?
Sure. Well, I served assistant public defender, public defender for three terms. I was district attorney 30 years ago for one term. I was conflict public defender for appointed by the county probably 14 years. So I've done the criminal work since from day one.
And you glossed over it, I think, a little bit, but you've actually had experience being a prosecutor as well.
Oh, that's right. I was the head DA. I was elected in 1983 in Columbia County when everybody told me that we couldn't get elected, and I wasn't supposed to get elected, so it was quite a shock at the time.
Right. And certainly at this point, you've had an opportunity to focus on the differences between yourself and Mr. Cheka, who's running. Can you characterize what the highlights are of those differences?
We're 180 degrees in opposition. He represents, both from his campaign literature and both from his past practices in the courthouse, his debate statements, he represents the classic archaic role of trying to be the toughest upstate DA that there is around and primarily concerned about getting his 99 or 98% conviction rate. And this is the 21st century, and I view that as dysfunctional behavior. That's not the behavior that we need anymore. We can't afford that kind of behavior. We can't afford the criminal justice system we have now. We need to make some serious changes, some aggressive changes, to come to the 21st century and understand we're dealing with human beings and their lives besides money. We have to address both points. Mr. Cheka is not there. He plays the role of authoritarian decision maker, whether he was a judge, he was that way. When he was DA before that, he was that way. And there's a difference of strategies and belief systems that's going to be when we're elected in a couple of days.
Well, I'm imagining that that many in our audience, especially in Columbia County, who are going to be have the opportunity to make a choice between you and Mr. Cheka, like the idea of a tough-talking, tough guy as a prosecutor. I think that some significant amount of people walk around thinking that, well, what we really need to do is to get tougher on criminals. And that's an appealing sort of candy store approach to criminal justice. I say candy store, I mean let's go in and grab all we can, instead of maybe a more nuanced approach that I hear you describing. What do you have to say to those people in Columbia County who say, you know what, I want a tough prosecutor who will prosecute criminals to the full extent of the law?
And that's the difference between myself and other people. Let me just explain this to you, if I can. You have old philosophies, old procedures, how to work. And let me tell you, I will be the toughest person in the courthouse, and I promise you that, with hardcore repeat offenders, criminals, antisocial personalities, especially those with violent tendencies. I'll have zero tolerance for any type of violence, any type of violence. Absolutely play hardball. That I view as my primary role is to protect society, protect the people in the county from these types of individuals. So that is where the role of saying, I'm going to be tougher than the other guy, is absolutely incredibly important. But the interest is, though, you made a comment, be tough with criminals. 85% of the people who are arrested in Columbia County, and this is the big issue, the difference between this, is that they're not criminals. The other 15% are criminals. Mr. Chaika says he hates criminals at the debate, and I hate criminals too. And I think criminals ought to go away. But we have different definitions of who is a criminal, who's not a criminal.
So let's drill down on that a little bit, Gene, if we can. You say that, that, and I don't mean to be a stickler here, but I think you just said that 85% of the people who are arrested are not criminals.
Not in Columbia County.
What does that mean, 85% are not criminals?
They're not criminals. They're people. Listen, we're a small town. We have small town courts, night courts, village justice courts, city courts, county courts. And anybody can go out and see for themselves. Go to some town justice court some night and sit there and watch the cases come through. And you'll see for yourself that 85% of the people going through there are people who just got in a jam, have a problem, a domestic issue. They got a kid got arrested for petty larceny, neighborhood fight. All these people, 85% of the people, speeding, a big speeding ticket. You see that. They're your friends. They're your neighbors. They're people who live next door to you. In a small county like we are, we're not New York City. We don't have, as a general rule, the people going through these town courts. What Mr. Chaika would refer to as criminals. These are family people, most of them, or they have broken families, they have health issues, they have financial problem issues, and so many things that keep them from the definition of being a criminal. That makes a distinction between what I'm arguing or advocating for and what Mr. Chaika is. I promise the people of Columbia County that these antisocial, violent people will be going to prison. I'll spend all my time and energy that I can on that as a priority. After the priority, my goal would be is to make sure that people aren't just dispensed with and have their lives ruined because we have a DA that just wants a 99% conviction rate. As you know, as everybody else knows, once you start getting an arrest record or a felony conviction record, your lives are ruined. We have so many young people in their 20s around here that might do something wrong, seriously wrong, but has not hurt anybody, and they become statistics down in the courthouse so they can say they convicted so many people out of 150 people out of 60 cases for felonies. Well, that's wrong. That's not the way things become. And the cost to not only the criminal justice system, but we're putting these people on welfare. So we're not only keeping them on welfare, we're their spouses on welfare, their kids on welfare, and it's ad infinitum. It goes on and on and on. And unless we do something dramatic to change things, we're wasting human beings and we're wasting tons of money that the taxpayers can't afford.
Well, you touched on the same issue twice that I think I certainly care about as a taxpayer, and I'm certain that the voters of Columbia County care about. You talked about waste of money and cost, and we all understand, I think, that it is extraordinarily expensive to house people in prison. It's upwards of $40,000 a year for each person that we house in state prison, and it's likewise extraordinarily expensive to prosecute people and bring them to trial. I wonder whether there's a difference between your view of how to conduct the prosecutor's office and Mr. Chaika's view of how to conduct the prosecutor's office in terms of the cost to the citizens of Columbia County.
But I want to add one more point to what you just said. There's a third point, the wasting of human lives and human resources. Our country can't afford to have people become wasted where we then have to pay for them and their families the rest of their life. So there's direct costs of how much the court case might cost. There's the direct cost of people in prison. But there's also a direct and indirect cost of how many tons of money that we, taxpayers have to pay for people keeping them on welfare because some DA uses an archaic system of saying, I want a 98% conviction rate, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm proposing a whole different change of style for the DA's office. Basically, right now, the DA's office is a closed system. It's not open, accessible, and accountable. I'm proposing that it become open, accessible, accountable so people see that, one, they're not being discriminated against, and everybody of all social, economic, and political backgrounds are going to get a fair shake and decisions being made in your case. The second area that I would be changing is the management performance. Right now, it's a top-down decision-making authoritarian approach to how things are made, meaning the DA sits in his chair, or she, Ms. Cozzolino, is, and decides, almost like God, to decide what's going to happen to you. I'm a firm believer that I don't have a monopoly on a sense of justice. I have a sense of justice, but I believe in a community sense of justice. And from the managerial viewpoint, I want to spread the decision-making out to help put together a team where some of the best minds, experienced minds in Columbia County, not just the assistant district attorneys, but experts from the welfare department, experts from the mental health clinic, experts from the nonprofits in the community, all can come and partake in decision-making at the table and help to decide. And what we'll be looking at, we'll be looking at the law, we'll be looking at the facts, and we'll be looking at what's the interest of justice. So by having a close community network of agencies that are still there out in the community and include them, and then coming up to a team consensus of what we should do in a particular case, would, I think, is going to help resolve cases quicker and more efficiently and cheaper for the taxpayer. And hopefully we won't waste lives that way. But conversely, the team approach will also be used to help decide and help with the victims. We're going to have victims. And having, if anybody's worked on both sides of the fence, which I have, victims are victims and they need help. And sometimes the whole family needs help. And there's no sense just addressing somebody who you know, maybe was a victim of a theft and hopefully getting their money back. But many of these people, trust me, because I view it from a global or systemic approach, many of these people have problems. So when we're trying to resolve these matters about how to handle a particular criminal case, I will also be asking these staff of people, of well-experienced, trained people, of what we can do or what can we refer for the victims to hopefully they won't get in this particular mitigant again themselves, because many times they'll place themselves, they don't understand about neighborhoods, they don't understand how to protect themselves, and maybe we can make some positive suggestions for people, victims, if they need emotional help, because it's really post-traumatic stress syndromes when people are victims of crime. We need to get them referred out, and sometimes it's like going to a doctor. If a doctor you go to the physician and he treats you because you got a sore toe, but he doesn't do your blood pressure and ask you whether you've have breathing troubles this week and run the blood pressure test, he's not doing his job. He's looking at other things. And I think with a well-put-together team approach, we could do that.
So I want to cover a couple of issues with you that come out of the points that you've just raised. I understand from what you're saying that individual who's charged with a violent offense, an armed robbery, a homicide, a violent homicide, these people are going to be dealt with in a fairly traditional way. You're going to collect evidence, you're going to prosecute those people, and if the evidence supports their conviction, they'll get convicted and sent to jail. But
absolutely correct.
But I think that we all understand, or perhaps at least we all ought to understand, that the vast majority of cases that come through the criminal justice system are not those cases.
That's correct.
Violent crime comprises less than 5% of the kinds of cases that come through the criminal justice system in general. The vast majority of offenses that come through are nonviolent, victimless crimes. I say victimless, I don't mean to disparage the fact that people are injured by drunk drivers, or that people are injured by petty larceny, or people are injured by non-payment of child support, but they're not direct action violent crimes. And so what I'd like to ask you is, when you suggest that there are a social support approach to criminal justice, what sort of cases are you talking about, perhaps moving out of the criminal justice system and into a resolution context?
This is the way we're going to do it. If I can get a team of the best trained and experienced minds in Columbia County to participate in a team meeting, what we're going to do, all the stakeholders, including the police, including the nonprofit agents, public agents, I hope we'll all have representatives. We hope to have the police officer to present his case or the ADA handling the matter to present the case. We also have going to spot at the table for the defense lawyer, and I'm going to tell the defense lawyer, please bring in whatever information you want to discuss, the law, facts, witness, that whatever it may be. And we're also going to have an open file. Unfortunately, over the last 16 years with the present administration down in the courthouse, we spent, talk about money, tons of money fighting back and forth open regarding criminal justice files. And
I'm going to interrupt you at this point just to give a little civics lessons to our listeners. And I'm speaking now out of the shoes of a defense attorney. When an individual is arrested, it occurs as a result of some sort of investigation that took place by law enforcement. And law enforcement, therefore, generates some paperwork in that regard. That goes to the prosecutors, and the prosecutors decide what charges, if any, to bring. And they generate more paperwork during that process. In the normal course, that paperwork is not made available to the defense attorney until very late in the game, sometimes just before trial, sometimes well after, always well after the charges have been brought. And if there's going to be a pre-trial disposition, meaning a plea of some sort, which, by the way, happens in over 95% of all cases, that will happen only after the defense counsel has an opportunity to review the paperwork. So it's only reasonable to believe that the earlier that the defense counsel gets that paperwork, the earlier a decision will be made to resolve the case, and the less cost will be incurred by the county if these dispositions happen more rapidly. So what I hear you saying, Gene, is that you're committed to trying to save the county money by disclosing information sooner so that cases can get off of the court's docket more rapidly. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, when I was DA 30 years ago, I had an open file policy. And if you've done the case right and you've done it honestly and straight, there's no reason why you can't show your file to anybody in the community for that, for practical purposes. But even 30 years ago, when I did the DA's office, open an offer to prison for 2 to 6 for whatever offense at 10 o'clock in the morning, you Xerox the file, you give it to the defense lawyer, he goes out to the jail, and I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times, by 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, they'd be calling back and say, okay, we'll take the deal.
Well, you know,
and it's resolved.
9 out of 10 isn't an overestimation, because the truth is that, look, I mean, the truth is the police arrest the right person most of the time who gets charged with the right crime most of the time. And when a reasonable offer is made by a prosecutor to resolve the case, most of the time the defense is going to take it once they have the information they need to advise their client. So when you say 9 out of 10 times, that's actually quite accurate, because it's almost 95% of the time people plead guilty.
It was so much easier back then. But for the last 16 years, you have a system where they hold on to every piece of paper and they fight over it, the present DA's office, and you spend hours and days writing memos and stuff just trying to get information that, I mean, I've spent days in pretrial hearings fighting over information, literally, that in my time, and I promise everybody, can resolve in 5 minutes.
Well, do
so
the citizens
the cost
of,
is tremendous.
Well, I was just going to ask you, right, do the citizens of Columbia County pay for that time?
Oh, absolutely.
How?
They pay for, well, they pay for the stenographer. They pay for the judge. They pay for the court clerks. They pay for the ADA there, and 60% of the time they're paying for the public defender being in the office, and then they're paying for the support staff, the typing up the memos, research, and office equipment. Oh, it's a total waste of time, waste of expenses for the taxpayer, and like I said, the present administration has been. Now, Mr. Chaika, for whatever reason, he doesn't address any of these issues. His material for the last, especially this past week, is just personal attacks, and he doesn't address how he's going to manage the office or what's the interest in justice is going to be.
Well, so in my focus on today's show and the opportunity to have you, and I had hoped Mr. Chaika to be here as well, I wanted to address the issues that I think the listeners, the voters of Columbia County, care about the most. Certainly they care about what will affect them in their pocketbook. So can you please address for us the differences between what it is that you're going to do and how that affects their pocketbook, and what it is that Mr. Chaika says he wants to do and how that will affect their pocketbook?
Mr. Chaika's approach, based on the debate and based on his literature, his goal is going to be the same old archaic view. I'm here for 98% conviction rate. That's what is in his literature that he wants to be. He brags in his literature about being one of the toughest DAs in upstate New York. That just costs tremendous amounts of money. We need to use the resources that we have in Columbia County to start reducing the cost in the courthouse, as well as in our human service or welfare department role, to save the taxpayers' money. It's totally dysfunctional to think out of terms now, like they used to do it here. It's just dysfunctional. And the bottom line, the economic and social and political discrimination that occurs in this county is tremendous. See, as you started out earlier, it affects everybody's lives. And there really isn't anybody in this county. It's not going to happen to them or their family, their friends. They're going to know somebody who's going to go through the system. And once they experience that, most people in Columbia County become very, very enlightened when they find out what's really going on. Many people who are criminal behaviors in Columbia County don't get arrested, or they don't get prosecuted to the level that they should. And the double standard, the treatments between the people who are in power, in control, down at the courthouse, it's offensive. It's a closed system. I promise you that my system will be open. Everything will be discussed to the public, whatever they need. Of course, confidential matters can't be, but basically if there's a decision in the case why we did something, we will do it. No different than D.A. Vance down in Manhattan with the fellow who was head of the monetary fund from Europe. When he dumped that case, he explained why he dumped the case. Down around here, it doesn't compute here. And the other, fortunately, there's so many cases around here that don't get prosecuted or arrested that people don't find out about. It's really offensive. And I can give you an example, if I can. There was a contractor from Columbia County at one time with the present DA that was well related to a Republican town chairman in town. He stole $460,000 from 19 people. The Attorney General's office originally investigated it, and in a civil matter, took his license away from him, et cetera, et cetera. And the DA here said to herself and took publicly, well, that's up to the Attorney General's office. That's not my case anymore. But in fact, she could have prosecuted this fellow for grand larceny for the $460,000. It's a local crime. She could have done it. She didn't do it because he was politically connected. Another example that goes on, the discrimination in this county. About 5 years ago, the Republican Columbia County clerk's brother was arrested on his fourth DWI. Down in the courthouse, he gets drug court. At the same period of time, somebody similarly situated, but only on his second felony, he happens to be a nephew of a, at the time, minority supervisor, the board of supervisor, gets arrested. The DA offered him a prison term. He refused. He went to trial, and Mr. Chaika sentenced him to 2 1/3 to 4 years in prison. So you have the Republican County clerk's brother getting drug court, and you have the minority leader's nephew, for similarly situated, goes to prison for the max for that offense. So to me, that's always been the two key cases that absolutely reflects what goes on here. And so many people don't get arrested that get buys. The DWI reputation in our county, who you know, and if you get buys, is tremendous. The number of people get buys on DWIs.
That's when you say buys, what do you mean?
No prosecution, no arrest. You know, you hang around, you hear enough, you see the stories and you hear the stories. And many DWI arrests, they go away. Nobody knows whatever happened to them. So the discrimination is horrendous, and that's all going to end. I promise everybody, it's going to be an open, accessible office, and that type of behavior won't occur.
Well, you anticipated my next line of questions, and to the extent that there's more that you can add in that regard, I know that the Columbia paper recently issued an editorial in which they described allegations that the county is run by a gang that practices social, economic, and political discrimination. And you've given us a couple of examples of that. Can you give us more? And can you describe for us who is it in Columbia County that gets prosecuted primarily? Do you know? Are you familiar with the statistics?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of statistics, but if you can go to the Division of Criminal Justice Services in Albany and actually look at the statistics and see. There's various ones of various levels, but for example, drug court. Let's talk about drug court. Drug court has been in the courthouse for 8 years. Mr. Chaika, if you read that editorial, Mr. Chaika has suddenly become a born-again drug court person. For 8 years, he's not like drug court. He has been against drug court, and John Nichols, the other county judge, has been running it. However, Mr. Chaika, if he wanted to, could have participated in drug court, could have sentenced people to drug court. That particular case I just told you, the minority leader's nephew. But he has been totally against drug court. We've had a total, up until last year, 147 cases get into drug court over 8 years in Columbia County. Now, if you look at the statistics, and I have all the statistics in my newsletter that I sent out, there was approximately the number of people available to be going into drug court was thousands of people that could potentially go into it. And I want to say, there we go, page 18, if I can just take a second. This blows my mind when I researched it. 9,346 people in Columbia County for the last 8 years were potentially eligible for the drug court program.
And only 147 went in?
Went accepted.
Wait, any kind of estimate on, so you say 9,300, that's almost 10,000 people.
Absolutely.
What's the
correct
cost? What's the cost of processing 10,000 people through the Columbia County criminal justice system as opposed to sending them through drug court?
Money cost, the time cost.
Is it millions of dollars?
Oh, it has to be. Has to be over the last 8 years. I mean, the goal has been to keep the jail. Listen, we built a new jail here 20 years ago, and the goal was always to keep the jail full because it's a money-making enterprise for Columbia County, and don't let anybody tell you it's not. They take people from other counties to keep everything filled. So, but with that number of people, and it just blows my mind.
I'm all in favor, I guess, as a citizen, in prosecuting those 10,000 people instead of putting them through drug court. If at the end of the day, the prosecution of them results in them not coming back into the system, or them getting the treatment that they need. In one way or another, there's a benefit to society to actually prosecuting them instead of just the benefit of raising a prosecutor's conviction rate. What's the benefit to society of prosecuting those 10,000 people instead of putting them through drug court?
There's really not too much. Let me just explain this to you if I can. Most authorities today across the board will tell you anybody who has an addiction problem, a substance abuse addiction problem, to wake up one day and just go cold turkey and never do it again, that's rare. And unfortunately, under the old system of criminal justice in Columbia County, let's assume somebody got a misdemeanor for some kind of addictions problem and then put it on probation. The problem you have here on the first fall, that's bound to happen. They'll tell you. Any experts will tell you that you're going to go through a series of falls, going forward, going back, going forward, going back. On the first fall, what historically have been done to consider that a violation of probation, then they end up doing 30, 60, 90 days in jail for a one-time violation of probation instead of dealing with them in a different manner like you would through drug court.
They say relapse is part of recovery.
That's correct. Right. Absolutely. Thank you for that. That's actually true. So in the old mechanism, the old way of doing things like Mr. Chaika proposes, to continue doing, that person will end up doing 30, 60, 90 days. And now, what are we talking about? We're talking $100 a day. That's what they're going to cost the taxpayer. So that's not cheap when you add it up under that many thousands of cases.
All right. Well, I think that voters are impressed by the notion of a 98% conviction rate. I am certain that what goes into that conviction rate are the 95% of people who plead guilty and therefore are convicted. And I wonder if you have any knowledge about what the percentage is of cases that are won by prosecutors or the defense when they actually go to jury trials. Do you have any familiarity with those
yes.
numbers?
Yes, in county court here in Clement County, you got to remember we're a county of 63,000 people, and I know these figures, reviewed them for many, many years back for 35 years, and you're really looking at in Clement County, the big thing they do. I don't know. I'm sure you understand this because. What your background is, but they do Superior Court Informations, which is a voluntary, non-trial thing where everybody get together and they go and put the case up in front of the judge, and that's basically how it's resolved. You'll have anywhere, depending upon the year. If you have a lot of those, you might get 150 cases down in the courthouse, knots. And if you have a light year on that, you'll have anywhere from 75 to 150 cases down in the courthouse in Hudson. And those are all felonies. So we're not talking about the thousands of misdemeanors or violations that are occurring in town court or village justice courts. So depending upon that, you'll end up in Columbia County Court having anywhere from, I'd say, in a poor, slow year, 5 trials, and a good year, 20 trials. I remember my first year, when I kept track of them, my first year in the DA's office, we hit almost, I remember, 18, 20 trials. And at the time, I was a part-time DA. In fact, I was the last part-time DA in Columbia County. And we had one-third the staff we had here today. But that was the most trials we had in Columbia County in years. But now, that it's a good estimate of 10 trials a year.
So
felony trials.
Fair enough. 15. And so if we were to say between 5 and 20, you'd be right in there.
Right.
And typically the prosecutor gets a conviction in what percentages of those that actually go to a jury trial?
Well, you're still looking at probably at least, I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
This is way off, just off the top of my head kind of guess. They're probably going to get conviction 80% of the time.
Yeah, that strikes me as being just about right. I know that throughout the state of New York, the general conviction rate at jury trials in felonies hovers around 70%. It gets dragged down from your suggestion that it's 80% in Columbia County by virtue of the fact that convictions in the city, in New York City, where most of the state's jury trials occur, is around 60%. So we have a conviction rate of maybe 80% in 5 to 20 cases a year in Hudson, and all the rest of the cases end up getting pled out one way or another.
That's correct. And interesting, Mr. Chaika, in his campaign literature, and I thought it says, this just blows my mind. You ought to look at his campaign literature. Look at his website. On his website, he claims to stop the practice of plea bargaining when he became DA, and he's not going to have the practice of plea bargaining again if he gets elected DA on Tuesday. And it's absolutely a total falsehood, yet he can I call it on page 8 of my newspaper that most of the people in the county have seen so far. It's the Columbia County Justice News Judge Dredd article, and he claims that he instituted a no plea bargain policy when it's absolutely false. And I asked him not to embellish his record about that type. But that just shows you that Mr. Chaika is really in the 20th century, not the 21st century, and that his old-time approach to the criminal justice system in Columbia County is only going to cost the taxpayers tons of money and a lot of heartbreak.
We understand I understand that plea bargains occur as a result of the economics of the criminal justice system. In a perfect world with an unlimited amount of money, every single case would go before a jury, and the jury would parse the evidence, would look at the evidence, and they'd make a determination that, that there is enough evidence to convict this person or there's not enough evidence to convict this person. The costs of that are astronomical because it costs so much to try every case. So so what's going to be the impact if you're right that Mr. Chayka is going to abandon plea bargains? What's going to be the impact on the taxpayers in New York County if plea bargains are abandoned?
Oh, it's outrageous. But the bottom line is he is just embellishing a record. I mean, he's accused, to get to the nitty-gritty, he's accused me of so many falsehoods that when I see his campaign literature out there and it says that he's going to end plea bargaining in the DA's office, it's like, who's he talking to? And if people buy that, then, you know, the people deserve what they get, but it's going to cost you a fortune in money and emotional heartache, because the average person who's not a criminal that has slipped and fall, has done something stupid, trust me, the emotions going through that, for the victim also to go through a trial when the victim has to testify, if there is one, or the defendant and their families and the publicity involved, that is so destructive to our society, and the embarrassment is so society that we would be end up literally destroying ourselves and our social relationships around here, because everybody around here is related to somebody else. Everybody's friends to everybody else. And if you started doing that when somebody gets in a jam and needs some help, it is just so dysfunctional that it just the thought that Mr. Chayka is actually proposing that he's not going to plea bargain, it just blows my mind.
Well, I understand that it does yours. It does mine as well. The something that's particularly troubling, though, to my mind, is that this race seems to, like many races in Columbia County, seems to be, and I say this really just based on the signage that I see around Columbia County as I'm driving around, it seems to be boiled down to a Republican-Democratic thing. And as I'm aware, being a defense attorney, the criminal justice system is not a political endeavor. It's a social endeavor. What that means is that people come into the criminal justice system not because they're a Republican or a Democrat, but because somebody says they've done something wrong. And as someone then is charged with either prosecuting that person or making the decision not to prosecute that person. That's not a political enterprise. And so I'm concerned about what it would mean if this county elects to make its decision along political lines as opposed to the lines that are very starkly drawn between your philosophy and Mr. Chayka's philosophy.
The problem we have at the philosophy that it's along political lines, and Mr. Chayka's philosophy, that's been going on for years. That's why I've said to many people, you know, I've grown up. I'm 61 years old now. I was DA when I was 32, 33 years old. I've learned a tremendous amount in my life, your growth, wisdom, and your points are well taken. But the bottom line is that's what we've had. We've had this for years, and it's time for us to really to wake up and say exactly what he said. This is not a political activity. This is a social issue that we have to deal with to make sure that the society is protected and help rehabilitate those who need the rehabilitation and help the victims and the victims' families to not to be, have that post-traumatic stress kind of approach to life, because when you are a victim, I've been a victim, it's there, it hurts. So you really have to realize that the good old boys, 401 State Street, which is our governmental administration building, and the party lines, that's what this is all about and has been. That's why you don't see Mr. Chayka talking the real issues. He's not going to do it. He stays away from the real issues. He knows that there's been mismanagement in the courthouse, but he doesn't even come close to mention it. It's strictly to his not going to plea bargain and that sort of thing, and it just really, really is offensive.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, in the time that we have left, a little bit about what the politics are in Columbia County. I understand that Columbia County is overwhelmingly Republican, and in my experience in election politics, primarily in New York, I know that voters routinely cross over party lines in order to elect candidates based on their philosophies and approach. We see that most starkly, for instance, when Rudolph Giuliani, who was registered to, started out as a Democrat and then registered as a Republican in order to get on the ticket in Manhattan, got himself elected, not because he was a Republican, but because of the approach that he had to governance. And likewise, other candidates in New York State get themselves elected frequently, not because they're a Republican or a Democrat, but because people actually listen to the message at some point and decide, you know what, I'm not going to vote straight along party lines. I'm listening to this message and I'm going to vote according to what I think is the right thing to be done. What are the politics in Columbia County? What's the split between Democrats and Republicans? Well, and so you're running on the Democratic ticket. He's running on the Republican ticket.
Correct.
What's the likelihood, what's the possibility if people vote straight on party lines of your prevailing?
Well, actually, if they vote straight, here's the difference. Historically in Columbia County, it's been a Republican-controlled county. Most people vote Republican. When I first started out, it was 2-1 Republican to Democrats. However, today, there are now more Democrats in the county than Republicans. There's approximately 12,700 Republicans, Democrats, approximately 12,400 Republicans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, and there's 2,400 Independence Party members, 1,300 Conservative Party members, and 200 Working Families Party members now. However, the county is still very conservative in many ways, and they vote on the conservative side of things. However, they will vote otherwise. This race is a very winnable race, and I expect to win this race come Tuesday morning. And the reason why I say that, if you look at all and analyze the race and statistics in the past, we're down to 2-3% between the county races, and all the county races. There's four of them this year. And I'm telling you now, we're down to 500 votes apiece, apart. And if we can get the voters out, Democratic voters out, and the people who understand, the Republicans who understand the message here that I'm trying to deliver, and they understand how dysfunctional it is to go on the past things, we're going to pick up that 2-3% extra that we need. And so that's where we're at. The problem is, historically, in Columbia County, that Republicans always turn out to vote regardless. And the Democrats, unfortunately, sometimes they think, well, maybe it's a good day. Maybe I will vote. Maybe I won't vote. I know I'd rather do something else today. So they're not as locally as committed, the general average Democrat, as the Republicans are hardcore. They always vote regardless.
Right. So it's going to be a close vote.
Oh, absolutely.
Regardless. Let me ask you this. You're 61. You're not a young man anymore. You've had a fascinating and storied career. Mr. Chayka is similarly aged. He's had a career as a prosecutor and a judge. Are there financial issues for you or Mr. Chayka in obtaining this post?
Listen, this race really isn't about Gene Keeler and his career. This race really isn't about Paul Chayka and his career. I've been fighting this good fight for almost 10 years. I ran for DA 4 years ago. I've been preaching the same message for many, many years, and I preach it about what an abomination has been down in the courthouse. Now, Mr. Chayka, if you look at it also into my Columbia County News, I have a whole story on it, and he denies it. And listen to this. He's got almost 30 years in as judge. He's no longer in the judge's office because he had to leave in order to run for DA's office. There's a whole bunch of political reasons out there that we don't have time to discuss exactly how all the innuendos or how all the it all came about. But there's many issues on this. But one of the issues is this is my prediction. Mr. Chayka has been saying I'm going to go around telling everybody he's going to double dipping. I've never told anybody.
What does that mean to double dip?
Okay. He's got almost 30 years. If he put his retirement papers in tomorrow, his retirement check just from his county judge's job is going to be around $75,000. The new pay scale for the DA's office coming up is going to be $131,000 starting April. Plus, they get a free car and gas, and everybody knows around here, none of these people pay taxes on the car and gas, what they get. They use it personally. So his total compensation package, if he takes the retirement check, is going to be well over $200,000 a year. He has accused me that I've created a falsehood, and what I said in my newspaper, Columbia County Justice News, that he will be double-dipping because down the road after if he gets elected, et cetera. I'm not saying he's taking it now. And you can even check on website, and he's not taking it now. But I cannot believe that he's telling the public, and now it's perfectly legal for him to double dip. Perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with it in a sense of legalities. Many people are against it. But he has made a promise to the people of Columbia County that he's going to give up that $75,000 a year income for every year that he's in the DA's office. That's something that, to me, is a campaign promise that's going to be broken in the future. I don't care. He could say it today all he wants. But if you look at all the newspapers and you look what they do in Albany, it's a very common thing to do. It's just routine and important.
In just the minute or so we have left before we go, are there any final words that you'd like to say?
Again, this is not about Gene Keeler or my career. I can retire tomorrow. God's been good to me. No problem. My family is a great family, good shape. This is not about my career. And be honest with you, this is only about Paul Chyka's career because that's what he's into. He's into power. He's into the behavior that I abhor. My whole campaign has been for the 10 years, literally from 4 years ago when I ran before, we're trying to make some real changes here for the betterment of everybody in the county. That's what this is about. And if I lose, wake up Wednesday morning, I'm going to be fine. The county is the one is not going to be fine.
I hear you. Mr. Keeler, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to come this morning. I'm sorry that Mr. Chyka elected not to come. I think it would have been a spirited discussion, and I would have liked to have heard what he had to say on these issues. I want to thank our listeners for making what I hope will be a reasoned decision when they go into the ballot box on Tuesday and vote according to their conscience. With that, I'll say goodbye until a month from now, the first Sunday of the month at 11 o'clock, when you'll hear again what it means to be a criminal defense attorney.
No matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Oh yeah, oh my darling.